Listener Production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me hurdy-gurdy, Hamish.
This could be better. hello? I'm just saying it could be better quality from previous week. So that's that's my instinct.
Ahoy to me Cruth, Jack.
Cruth.
Is this something to do? Why am I getting Irish vibes from this? Am I warm with Irish vibes?
Well, that's interesting because yes, it was Celtic that last one. I am Igil.
Are we hurley players?
No, we are obscure stringed musical instruments.
Now we're back. Okay, we're back. Probably overcorrected, I'd say, from the ham, cheese, and tomato incident.
Hey, you're guitar shaped.
Yes.
And we make a sound by a hurdy-gurdy. Yes. You're guitar shaped, make a sound by rotating a hand cranked turned wheel that rubs against the strings.
Oh, yep.
You're the Cruth, Jack.
Yep.
An ancient Celtic instrument.
Cruth tells
like
the truth.
A violin. It's like a tiny little harp. A tiny.
It is interesting, isn't it? Like, they're not bringing out
Jimmy. The harp is oversized, so why not make it small?
No, I think the harp is correct size for the sound they need, isn't it?
It's
you reckon they're showing off
press,
but it's how big it needs to be, isn't it?
I don't think that's why it's taking off, because it's just difficult to get around
from room
to room, let alone place to place.
But if then you weigh that up against the Cruth, which is the smaller version with no one playing at all.
Yeah, you've got to ask yourself, what are you seeing more of these days? Now, granted, you ain't seen a lot of harps, but you're seeing zero Cruth. Is the pocket size harp the instrument you sometimes see in Renaissance paintings? The baby angels would be playing something.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That gives you an idea of back when it was pop. It's probably like the iPhone back in the day where they're like, what, a harp in your pocket? it's like how people go like the technology, you could have landed, there's more computing power in your pocket now than put man on the moon.
Yep.
Back in the 1600s, they would be saying there's more harp power now in your pocket than you could used to have for a whole orchestra.
Just, the Igil, my one, or Eagle, is a long, skinny guitar with only two strings.
There would be a stringed instrument association somewhere, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
Who goes, okay, because obviously these die out. Like someone would be like, we got so many things. We've got so many things that are so close to what is popular. Mm. Let's streamline them.
Yeah.
Because if you're like a modern day hurdy-gurdy player, be honest. Look us in the eyes and say, no, I genuinely think it's better than the guitar. I'm not just doing it to get attention.
Yeah, it's not just a novelty.
I promise I have a deep affinity for this music. And
you don't understand.
Yeah. And I'm just not doing it so people at parties go, ooh, what's that? Oh, glad you asked. It's a wheel-powered guitar.
Ahoy also to Aaron, who's in the UK using hamishnerdy.com, very easy to use system to upload what he's been doing.
Poor thing.
Yeah, hoy boys, Aaron here. Just finished a beautiful round of golf on a Saturday morning. Just thought I'd give an update on how the day went. So 14 balls were bought from the clubhouse. These are lake balls, so common man style. Zero of those balls are coming home with me. I found more of the trees than the fairway, but overall a beautiful day. Wrapped up around the 12th hole, mainly because I did not have any more balls left in my bag to continue. Beautiful day overall. Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Now, puts you in an interesting position here, Jack, doesn't it? Hearing that golf chat, you are interested, but you also know
I've made a pledge of my own that I won't let golf talk infiltrate the podcast. Mm. I was the last remaining person on the show that wasn't interested at all in golf. And I understand what it's like to be in that position because when other people talk about golf, you just zone out. It's so boring.
I've only been there for a year myself, maybe 18 months. I do have memories of BG, my life, BG. And I could remember that being a very boring story from before golf. And now we were all, I think you and me the most, Jack, were fighting interest there. We were we're interested in this, but you must remember there's more than us listening.
Yes. So we cap, is that our last?
I can't talk any more about it. I actually have people messaging me saying you were the last remaining non-golf person on the show and we can't have this devolve into a golf podcast.
Yep.
And I said, yeah, I keep my pledge. even though I do love playing golf.
Jack, you made a solemn pledge and you'll stick by it.
Good man.
You know, much like my friend Taylor, who made a similar pledge.
A lot of pledges going around.
Yep.
Haim, you said you wanted the top of the show.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I was just making sure. I was just nodding to Mark to go isolate that and please do send it to our very good friends we choose to use. We've chatted a fair bit this year. We've come out swinging. It was decided on the first episode of the podcast. We're still the go-to spot for confectionery issues. We then had a flood of people going, here's a particular chocolate that didn't live up to spec, you know.
Yes.
Kit without a cat,
just, I mean, there's what, I mean, I know we had a big discussion during the week. It's like,
well,
we've been heavy on the chocolate.
I think we just acknowledged there are going to be human errors at these factories. In fact, they seem to be rife with errors out of any product.
One on my side of the fence this week, Cam, person sent in a photo that opened a packet of pods with no chocolate.
This is what I'm saying.
Just look like a packet of crisps.
Oh, well, that's interesting. But are we standing firm on this? Like, we can't just catalogue every instance of a missing ingredient.
Yeah, we can't.
We can't. And maybe we acknowledge they happen, and it seems to happen across all brands. Mm. It's not one particular company doesn't have a particularly stupid staff or something that just forgets to press buttons or something. It just seems to be, you know, unshakable human error. I've got something to bring to the table in the chocolate realm, but it's the right other end of the spectrum.
Mm.
Two examples of chocolate heroes, Ando.
Oh.
Companies going above and beyond. Now,
that's nice.
Example number one started as an investigation from alert listener Matt.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I don't think we have a word limit on our submission form, do we? Like, you know, in some emails, if you're writing, it's like 150 characters or whatever. If we have one on ours, it's into the thousands of words because Matt has got an essay through here.
You're a better chance to be read if you're concise, though, would you say?
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes, particularly if you've gone through a bunch that day and you're like, oh, I'll just do a couple more. And if you click on that one, Jack wouldn't know what we're talking about. He's never looked at them.
But I sometimes won't even read a long text message from a friend if it's too long.
I'll just
drift through it and get the gist of it.
Well, that was every bone in my body was going, just get the drift of maths. But I actually got sucked into the gist. I'll give you the gist. I'm not going to make everyone sit through the essay. But it falls in the zone of Oreos. Now, people will be familiar that there's the classic Oreo out there. There's a lot of different variations of Oreos, the minis, the whatnot. But this is to do with the Oreo and then the double stuff Oreo.
Okay.
I've got a pack in here for research purposes.
They've done well with the picture on the outside. It does look like exactly double the stuffing.
This is what Matt's investigation was about, because it's actually a creme too. You'll be pleased to know this is not cream. That obviously doesn't have enough milk content or whatever. So it's creme, but they go in bold font, two times the creme. Okay.
Yep.
So choc cookie sandwich with doubled, like that's like big writing, sweet vanilla creme. So Matt's gone, okay, that's a claim that we're just taking on face value, like a lot of food marketing. Mm. So he's going,
have they really?
Have they actually doubled it? Or does it just look about twice the size when you take out a double stuff? And sometimes you go, okay, I'm not blown away by the volume in there. It is noticeable against the other one.
Hamish is holding one up at the moment. And
we'll soon be eating one.
And it doesn't seem double, does it?
He then does, right? They're about the exact same price, about $2.50. So there's 14 cookies in the original packet. There's 10 in the double stuff. So he's gone, hang on a sec. Have they just doubled the cream so that they can sell less biscuits?
Yeah.
All right. The next few hundred thousand words follow this. So he's gone, I'm going to do the experiment. Buys all the cookies, buys a few packs, goes home, separates the creme from the biscuit to go, let's go by weight. Mm-hmm. Is there double the amount of creme?
Mm-hmm.
So the average weight of just the creme from the original, you get 2.2 grams of creme in an original Oreo. In a double stuff, you get 4.8.
Wow, more than double.
That's fantastic.
He then writes, he goes, okay, not what I was after, because obviously it's more fun to bring scandals to the show.
No.
Said, however, makes the point to go, look, if we're going to take down the deceptiveness out there, surely you have to celebrate those that are jumping the bar, that are leaping it. And the Devil Stuff Oreo lives up to its word. Now, you've got to understand you're going to get four less biscuits. But if having twice the creme means that much to you, you've got to know that they're also telling the truth. So a hats off to Oreo in that instance. God, what are we going to do with this? 24 biscuits in the studio. Okay, I'll put those over there for the moment. Let's see if we can sort those out.
Be interested to see, Jack, if you and I get any of those.
I just feel like for the rest of the podcast, Hamish will be wrapping things up quickly.
Did you say there was a second hero?
Second quick hero, special mention. We had a go at Ferrero Rocher recently. They left out a hazelnut. Yeah. We questioned whether the
Rocher was the actual, like, chocolate itself, like the style.
Yep. Oh, yes. Or is it just the name of that assembly of ingredients?
Yes.
This is on another vein. This is from Amy. She says, look, heard you talking about the Ferrero Rochers and the Ambassador ad. She's a big fan of both. In the late 90s, she goes, I was about 19 years old, hanging out with a couple of girlfriends one afternoon. We were very relaxed, having a giggle, and then who knows how, but they were struck with what you could only describe as the munchies. So perhaps they'd done some exercise or whatever. They built up at appetite.
Yeah.
Bunch of friends hanging out, and then suddenly they're
laughing
hungry.
A lot.
Laughing a lot, and suddenly they're, you know, it costs a lot of energy to laugh, and maybe
and suddenly you're munchies.
Through that exertion, they're hungry. So they start talking about, like, is the inside of the Rocher, is it Nutella? Because they are both made by Ferrero.
Oh.
Okay. So they decide to call the hotline. Because there's, like, on a lot of products, you can do the questions and comments hotline. Call the hotline, got onto what they describe as an absolute legend of a guy who did confirm it was Nutella. They had a great chat to him, and then a week or so later, a giant box of Ferrero Rochers arrived at her friend's place.
Very nice, Ambassador. Is that what the thing is?
No, Ambassador, you spoil us. Now, she doesn't say it, but you get the feeling she may have talked to the ambassador. So maybe the ambassador was working in the call center that day because we know he works for a share.
That's a chocolate hero.
That's a chocolate hero. Last one, Ando. You mentioned.
How many people can be sitting manning those hotlines for food?
Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
No wonder
spending most of their day doing 24/7? Absolutely nothing.
I know. You would have, no wonder he had a huge chat to them. It'd be like someone in solitary confinement. Don't go. I thought you're back to talking to a volleyball. So episode 243, Ando, recently you were talking about peanut M&Ms.
Yep.
And you went, I've got a raisin in one before.
I thought I had a raisin in one.
How would that happen?
We wondered whether that was even possible.
Received a lot of correspondence about this.
Could it happen?
In not the way you think. The most popular theories are either, and I'm not saying this could ever happen at the Mars factory, but this is theories that are being thrown around. It was either poop from a rodent, like mouse poo or something, that got chocolate coated and you've eaten it. Or someone reckons it was a fly, a dead fly, a blowfly that landed in the peanuts and it's been coated and you've eaten it thinking it was a sultana. Now, you can buy chocolate coated flies online. Yeah. I think what we do is get a few in here and we coat them in the same chocolate as an M&M and we get you to eat a few flies and you go, yes, that is what I had that day.
Yeah. Jack immediately. It's a hard day.
Yes, science. That is science. That's a soft maybe.
Guys, the style of phone call I get from my partner, Beck, where I just don't ever get the answer right. And it's not a trick. I just know that in my soul I should be able to do it better. Yep. But it's normally when she's distressed and I just don't seem to be able to hit the mood perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough ask. It's a high
make the system, the situation better for her, and invariably I've made it worse by what I've said. And then I get off the phone, I go, why did I say that? But you're under pressure in those particular moments. I wanted you to experience it. I wanted to see how you guys act because it's an interesting thing, those moments where your partner rings. It's very much between you and them. You don't really get to experience other people's versions of it.
That's true. You wouldn't know anyone else's playbook on this.
No. So I've built a boyfriend simulator today and we've already done it. Where I've put you both through a real life situation that happened to me. I was playing the role of Beck and to see how you would react in a certain situation. Darcy said that he's got brilliant tools to be able to make my voice sound exactly like Beck's. For instance, I could say, hi, it's Beck Harding here. And he said it'll turn out like this.
Hi, it's Beck Harding here.
Perfect.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. AI, man. Scary stuff. Look out, Beck. You'll be selling gummies in deep fake ads in a second.
Yes. So he's nailed that, which is good of him. I'll put the scenario to everyone so they could have a think about how they react before they hear how you guys both went. But I was away on a golfing trip. Beck was at our apartment, which is a rental. I've mentioned this in the part of the pod before. This was where the gas pipe had burst. She had no running hot water and no cooking for 5 days. And I think it was day two she gave me a call, and this was how the call went down. She was obviously exasperated about it. I didn't really know what to do. Let's see how you guys tackled it first, and then we can kind of revert back to where maybe I went wrong. But should we start with Jack? The simulation, this is how Jack would respond to the same, the exact same, obviously sounding exactly the same as not. It's me, but Darcy has done these adjustments. How Jack would respond to the call.
Hello.
Hey, the gas pipe is broken at the apartment. I've got no hot water and no cooking. It's been like this for 5 days.
Oh, okay. And did you call someone?
Yes, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're away golfing.
Yeah, I can't really think of even where the gas pipe would be found in the house or what to do with it, so I'd have to call a professional.
So
good, Jack. The number one rule of call centres is just make it someone else's problem. I think that's what you... Yes. You know when you're on the phone to like the bank or something and they're like, now are you a new customer? Like, no, no, you're not getting me like that. Because I can transfer you to a new customer's but no, existing. Right.
And how many years have you been with
them? And when they find that they've got a reason to transfer you, they get so excited. They're like,
it's a cards problem. It's a cards problem. You've come through to general customer service.
No.
I wish you could do that with your girlfriend from time to time.
So, Jack, you went the old, this is a plumber, this is an official plumber.
Let's analyse this. You then so said at the end, though, Jack, I guess I'll have to call a professional. Does that mean you would have then called a professional for Bianca?
No, I mean, like, we'll sort out the problem together, I thought. Maybe I'll Google it while you stay on the phone, we'll find a number, that sort of thing.
That's great, Jack.
That's good. From a golf trip, too. Good on you, Jack. I guess I slightly misunderstood the assignment, Andrew, because I was you. I thought we were meant to be being you.
Yeah.
I thought you just wanted me to come in and play you to help.
Well, that would also have been informative, and I can learn from that. So let's see how Hay went. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, the gas pipe is broken in the apartment. I've got no hot water and no cooking for 5 days.
Congratulations, lucky lady. You just won an all-expenses-paid trip to our hotel for 5 days with me, Andy the Love Machine Lee. Clear your diary.
But you're away. You're away golfing.
Yes, sorry. I won't be there. Sorry. Paid for the hotel visit's paid for by me, but I will remain away. Sorry about that. But I am still a love machine. I just love golf more than... Well, I just love golf. Let's just leave it at that. Did you throw the hotel prize at her?
Well, to me again, this is...
Nando, this is like...
What did you do? Because these are pretty bare minimum, I would have thought, both of them.
Yeah, what did you do?
What do you want me to do about it?
See, I know enough to know that that's probably not gonna yield a... Oh, my God, you're so right. I hope I haven't bothered the trip. Nando, this is... I mean, surely you know this, but after 10 years of marriage, if I have any advice... It's never a solution's not the answer. No. Just say, that sounds tough.
That sounds tough.
Stop.
That's what I should have done.
And then throw out the hotel prize. what do you want me to do about it?
I'll tell you what.
And what did
Beck
say?
Once I returned, there was not much love machine.
Andy, the frustration machine Lee, wandering around the house for many weeks. Ando. We have been peppering you a bit lately since the start of the year. We've done one or two, but we have such a backlog of upset Andys to clear. I feel like the backlog would upset you. If you saw how many.
That actually, that's very true.
So breaks, my, makes, breaks my damn heart, sir.
But, well, so you've softened the blow. It's good bedside manner giving me bad news because yeah, the idea of lessening a backlog definitely does appeal.
What would you say if I told you that you could clear a backlog today?
Oh, thank
in
you.
Minutes.
Let me do it.
Okay.
Everything is neat and practical because that's the way he likes it. But what if it wasn't? Upset Andy.
Okay. A lot of upset Andys coming in. I mean, we see them in real life. Jack, did you have one that you said before that you...
Yeah, I got a brand new one. It actually even annoys me, so I don't know why I don't fix it. But my desk at home is a mess. Mm-hmm. Cables running everywhere, bits of paper and everything. Mm-hmm. I plug my phone
Let me at it.
you would really clean it up.
Yeah. It could be too much even for you, Ando.
Yeah, I don't think so.
What's your desk like? I bet you've got clips, cable clips, don't you?
100%. Well, I don't have too
the back. Like,
why do
round
you need
the back
so many cords?
Because I charge my phone on there, I charge the watch on there, I got different things I'm charging. Mm. And then I've got also a loose phone charger.
Why?
But I don't know. Mm-hmm. But now the cable of the loose phone charger is mixed up with the other one. So every night I plug it in sometimes twice. Sometimes I get it in the first go, but it's just a lucky dip whether it's the one that charges
so
or not.
One's in, one's out.
Yeah, that would annoy me.
I've so many spare cables floating around, always in the hope that they emerge, like a backup will be needed.
Yes,
like
that's
backpacks,
what it is.
Drawers. I'm always just desperate for the moment where someone goes, then we've got a spare cable.
Yep.
Doesn't happen that much.
No. No, Jack, I come around to
but
my
Jack,
house.
But Jack, when you think about the time you would spend undoing that though, Jack.
Yes, undoing the cable, figuring out which one's which.
You've got a young son. Mm. You want to see him grow up.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the most precious years of your life.
I'm doing that. All of a sudden, I turn around and
he's 15.
Yeah. All right. Nah, you've got a backlog. We've got a backlog.
All right. Frankie, gusto to you.
Ahoy, Frankie.
Ahoy.
What have you got for Ando?
So this is a calendar-based one. So basically, my partner works fly-in, fly-out, mm-hmm. 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And I've got his roster in my calendar so that if any events come up, I know if he's here or not.
Oh, that's perfect. So far, pleasing Andy, I would say. Andy loves a shared 100%. Calendar.
Hmm. Yeah. So about 4 months ago, his roster actually switched. So now if I check my calendar to see if he's coming to an event, it actually says he's here, but I just remember... No, he's not. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to reprogram the calendar.
You should. You should.
Because that kind of time.
Yeah, but what if your brain forgets?
I don't have forgets. A calendar. No. It's really not that hard. You just go, he's here. Not
him. Okay, that's interesting.
You know? Yeah.
And I dare say, Frankie, the time will come again when the calendars, the shifts swing the other way and then it'll be back to perfect.
Oh, it's changing. It changes all the time.
Yeah, you're like the person that just waits out daylight savings. I don't like those type of people. Yeah,
every year on our Magna.
No one knew how to change.
No one knew how to change the Magna's time.
Jacob, ahoy to you, Jacob.
What have you got to upset Andy?
So I've got a lawnmower that's battery powered, and I know that my backyard takes two cycles of the battery. So I have to do one half of the yard, charge the battery, then go again. So what I sometimes do is I'll mow one half of the lawn up and down, and then I'll mow it side to side for the second battery run.
So hang on. So what the net effect though is you've still got a mown lawn.
But you've got the mow patterns going lengthwise, then on the other half are going sideways.
You see the patterns, do you?
Yeah, you see the patterns, yeah. And one half of the lawn's going up and down and the other half's going side to side. Like I said, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I'm going to have to see a photo to see if it bothers me.
Oh, it would bother you. I can picture this and there's no way this pleases you, Andy. This would be almost like someone going out and... mowing the lawn as if they're vacuuming the floor, like just mowing it around, just pushing it around until it's all mown.
But I think that if it's perfectly half...
Might be stylistic
choice. There might be like a stylistic choice, the way that, you know, sometimes at a palace or something, they mow it in different directions to create a curious pattern.
It's an interesting area for us to get into here, Jacob, because Andy's old house he lived in, and he's currently on the run and staying at various safe houses, but his old house he lived in had no lawn, townhouse, inner city townhouse. The haunted house he's renovating will, I assume, have a giant lawn.
Yes, love some lawn.
Yeah, 7 or 8 acres, I suppose.
good, jacket. And I reckon, Andy, lawn mowing patterns are going to be a massive part of your life. We'll come back to this episode, I think, be like, remember the days where Andy was like only vaguely interested in lawn mowing?
I think I was thinking of getting in those little robot.
Look, Andy, try it, and then if you like it, then great. If you don't like it, then there you go.
Okay,
yeah, I think even the recharging. I think I don't mind having Jacob here always, just for some sick burns. I mean, even the fact that he has to charge it, Ando, like 2 hours.
That's the part I disliked about it. The fact
because if that was me, there's no chance the lawn would be getting mowed on the same day.
No way. Like, and I'm with you.
Two shifts.
He should get a second battery pack so he can go in, flick it straight over, and then head back out. But yeah, the idea of
are you going to send him one?
Nope. Not after the jibe about the acreage.
Doing a little test here to see if we're turning into that kind of show. We're not. Eden.
Eden. Ahoy to you, Eden.
Ahoy, boys. Happy birthday, Andy.
Don't celebrate him.
Very good. Eden, what have you got for Ando?
So this annoys my partner as well. So he's very much like Andy. When I am folding my towels or tea towels, I don't really care if it's long edge to long edge or short edge to short edge. Mm. And so when I put them away, they're all different sizes.
Yeah. It's actually another length versus width, caring scenario.
I'm doing my folding when I'm watching TV. Yeah. Change it up.
As long as they're folded. I mean,
the only way I would accept this.
Here we go.
Is if the cupboard they're kept in, it fits better. If you have a certain amount going long ways, and then it fits the other, the extra little, the shorter way fits better in the cupboard. Yeah.
That noise you heard was Eden falling asleep. I'm absolutely not Tetris folding my towels so I get a perfect score.
Thanks, Eden. Jared, wrap this up for us. We heard this backlog cleaned out.
Ahoy, boys. How's it going?
Yeah, very good, Jared. Gusto to you,
that's
sir.
The way. Thank you. So, I bought a new TV in 2018. Yes, must be nice.
Well, 2018.
6 years ago. I'm probably about the regular turnover.
At the time, yes, it would have been
nice. If you bought four since then.
Yes, and considering it's about the size of Andy's touchscreen for his golf simulator.
This is going great. Jared, yes, so you've got an enormous TV. What on it bothers you or doesn't bother you?
Well, it doesn't bother me, but to this day, it's still got the advertising sticker in the top right-hand corner.
Yeah, I hate that. The same with I don't even like when you've got the star rating on the lawn, like the washing machine.
Did you take the star rating off?
Yeah.
What are you taking it off for? What are you hiding?
It's for advertising purposes, to market it.
You think that's a showroom-only
sticker?
It's
a showroom-only thing. It's like wearing the tag on your T-shirt around. It's like the price tag. You got to get rid of that stuff.
But the sticker on the sticker on a screen, and I've seen you go absolutely bananas for a fleck on a screen.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's the hottest we've had, Jared. That was take the cake today.
What sticker is it? Like, it's not the energy sticker, is it just
it's the price, I think he said.
It's just the 2018 new sticker from when we got it, which, takes up a large portion of the quarter.
And do you have any times where it crosses your mind that you should go over and get that off, or just kind of a bit of a jam-packed schedule?
Well, there's a couple of sports where it blocks out the scoreboard, but you sort of...
Again,
you know
I think
who's winning generally.
You generally know who's winning. You can tell from the looks on their faces.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tell from their attitude. The scores for hacks. Boys, you might have mentioned the other week we were chatting. Someone said, we were talking about music, right? Like, and Jack, you were mentioning what your little boy's into at the moment. And I think I mentioned to you, Andrew, I was like, we're in the bangers phase at the moment. Like the kids, like driving to school.
Over history bangers, you mean?
Yeah, well, just the last 20 years, I'd say. Like EDM, like big club hits.
Oh, wow.
Like that would be my Spotify Wrapped for this year, definitely after summer.
Avicii and stuff.
Yeah, even like new stuff like Fishers in there and stuff. But I tell you what is getting the biggest run, and this is like relentlessly over summer, is Sandstorm by Darude. For those that aren't familiar, hit it, Jack. We've got a little taste of it here. Do you remember Sandstorm, Ando?
Yeah, I know this song.
Yeah, you know Sandstorm. It's good. Right. Going to school.
So you and
it builds. It's a great build. Yeah. And when you teach your kids about where the drop is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Here it comes. Maths.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of PE.
I reckon.
We're all going to do it today, guys.
I reckon, yeah. Here we go, guys. Ready? Got your lunches?
Yeah.
Everyone pumped? Everyone pumped for a good day at school? All right, here we go. All right, driving to school, end of last year, start of this year still, it's on heavy rotation.
Yep.
But
and
here's why I want to bring it up.
Do you take the family SUV or do you go in that dropped Commodore with
stretch hammer
that's bright green and huge mufflers?
Mate, over summer, it actually gave birth to an incredible game, okay? Right. And I want to share the game with everyone because I think it's adaptable. We were driving around the south coast of New South Wales, so like under a couple of hours south of Sydney. Mm-hmm. And we spent a few weeks on the south coast. There is quite famously the Kiama blowhole at down the south coast. Okay. A lot of people would have visited it. Famous if you're ever kind of going up or down the coast. And there's many blowholes around Australia.
Yep.
Kiama is a big one, and you know if you're in or near Kiama, you're gonna see the blowhole. But there are many, you know, no matter where you live on the coast, there are rocks, there are tides. Sometimes there's a hole.
Yep.
Which creates an exciting and unpredictable event.
Yeah, well, for people who don't know what it is, it's essentially a little bit of a hole. Normally a cave leads to a hole opening, and then water can come in at the right tide in a ferocious ocean, and suddenly water comes out of the hole as if to appear from nowhere, yes.
Like a geyser, right? And it looks like kind of looks like a whale spout, but the kind of one can get bloody high, like good 10, 15 metres. So we've done the kind of blow hole, that's all good. The next day, we're listening to the song. I don't even remember who came up with the idea, but we were like, hey, imagine, right, if you were listening to the song and right at the peak moment of the song, the blowhole erupted.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It'd be huge. So we're like, let's go and do it. So we drive, so we drive down, and for the blowhole there, we're coming, you can get out.
Busy day, mate.
Welcome to the filling in the school holidays. So you can get out and, like, stand on the platform, and a lot of people do that waiting for the right moment. But I was like, well, guys, the game is we park where we can see the blowhole.
Yes.
I'll start the song, and everyone piles into the front seat, so we're all there. And it has to, there's the biggest build of the song.
Yep.
It has to hit at the biggest build, right?
Is there any chance you can try to time it, or is it so
you just don't know. I'm sure we could talk to an oceanographer or something, but I think it's kind of like very random when it happens. Like, because it sort of involves too, like the water going back out and then like two waves hitting at once or whatever. So I don't know, moons, winds, tides.
It'd be tough.
Call it essentially mathematically completely random. So that's what adds the fun to the game.
Course.
Now you could use this for something if there's another natural phenomenon in your local area that has this. But can I just say the excitement in
Beck
the car.
Getting ready.
Beck getting ready. Beck just for when Beck comes down the stairs.
Just need about a 4-hour intro, I think.
you've got your work cut out for you. Do you know what it's actually the nature equivalent of when you watch the DVD screensaver bounce around in your way. You're hoping for it to land perfectly in the corner.
Yeah.
And we've all been in those moments. The anticipation is huge, right? This is the drop you're waiting for. I think this is about a minute 30 in.
Uh-huh.
This is the actual build. Like by this stage in the car, everyone's just like, this one.
Yeah.
And to a lesser degree, here.
No, that one doesn't count.
But if one day, if you got the big one, imagine if you got the follow-up one as well, and then it really looked like the ocean was dancing to Sandstorm.
So you would have possibly known if it had gone too early, you would have...
Yeah.
What kind of anticipation did you have when you got to that part?
We've done it 5 times. Mm. We haven't got it. Okay, but I just keep telling the kids it's going to make it even sweeter.
wait, you played the song 5 times and tried to get it, or you drove out there five different days.
5 different days. Wow. You only get one shot per day because that's part of the excitement too. We're not just sitting there all day till we get it. It won't mean anything.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
That's just grinding it out.
Yeah, right.
So you only get one shot per day.
Right.
Yeah, it's exactly like Random John Ando. That's the excitement of the game for long-term listeners. So... we haven't got it. And a couple of the days, you're right, Ando, like we'd see it go early in the build and you kind of knew. It's not impossible to get them two in quick succession, but you did kind of know.
And at that point,
you were now asking for a double miracle to happen.
Yeah. And at that point, do you encourage your kids to stay at and watch it out, like at sporting matches where you go, doesn't
stick
matter
it out, guys.
Yeah.
Yep. Stick it out. You can still come back from two sets down. You never know. Yeah, but geez, when it happens, I will report back. Because it'll bring the house down.
Hey, of course, Song Sleuth we do in this show.
Yeah.
Where I'll kind of have a look at songs that may have borrowed a little bit from other songs to see how close they are. We've also done Segment Sleuth on this show.
Where Song Sleuth, generally there's a direct correlation as to how likely someone is to get off if they're either a friend of the show
or you've
personally met them or perhaps been given tickets to one of their gigs by the band themselves.
Exactly.
That certainly helps you walk free from the court.
Yes. Hey, I'm also a Segment Sleuth where we've noticed podcasts or radio shows around the world doing a segment that seems very familiar to us because we were the ones that invented it. That's happened again. So I've got another Segment Sleuth for you.
This sounds like this, sounds like this, sounds like this. If this sounds like that, I'm your man. Andy Lee, Segment Sleuth.
Now, Ando, the most famous one of these, we were talking about the other day, was the Random John thieving. Random John was, because sometimes you come up with something on the show that, you know, conceivably, I think, you know, anyone that's sitting down to think of things for radio or podcasting, there's going to be some double ups if everyone's putting their brain in the same area.
Mm.
But Random John did seem like one that would be unlikely for someone to stumble over the game where we ring someone a random number, and if a John answers, we get a John point, and if a Rob answers, we get minus one John point, and if it was a John Johnson, that was a Golden John. Now, I think it was an Irish show that listed all those rules.
Yes. So
the coincidences were a few too many in that scenario. Mm. So what I wanted to ask was, is there a chance this is a coincidence?
Absolutely, it could be a coincidence.
Let's look at the evidence.
The segment that we used to do on the show, or still do actually, is a segment called Song Sleuth, for instance. If you don't know what that segment is, have a listen. Jungkook is a member of BTS. People are loving this song, and I reckon there might be a reason people are loving this song, because
really,
might be touch familiar. But anyway, this is the song. It's called Seven. Now, that sounded like a great pop song.
Mm.
And then Radio Mike, Podcast Mike said, reminds me of this song. So obviously a slower beat going
They've
there.
They've sped up Scrubs. Unfortunately, the drum line is really similar to me, and I don't need no lab to tell me that. I got my ears and my feels.
Yes, Song Sleuth is the segment. And there was a show in Australia, Ham, that's doing a very similar thing.
Brazen theft, if true, to be stealing in such a close market.
Yeah, exactly. Strange. And it's the show's called The Christian O'Connell Show.
I think this is the second time we've been on Segment Sleuth.
Jack, you work on The Christian O'Connell Show for your real job outside of this hobby?
I do. And
let's not prosecute him. Let's have a listen to the evidence and see.
Sure. Okay. Green Day released a new song this week. And I just, this is
your head is in your hands, by the way.
Oh.
Is it that bad?
It is an existing song. I'll play you the start of the new Green Day song, and then I'll actually, before I even tell you what song it's like, I reckon you'll be able to tell. This is the new Green Day song. Exactly the same as Pink, So What?
Oh my. Bloody hell, no, Jack.
I don't like it. Don't like it. I'm disappointed.
Put them together.
Oh, does the compare.
Don't mind the collaboration.
I do.
Maybe that's what they do. Pink and Green Day.
Oh, boy.
Now.
Can't wait to hear what comes after the nows.
I just honestly wanted to let the public know about something that I was annoyed about, because Green Day is my all-time favourite band, and I was so annoyed that they released a song that sounded like a Pink song.
Mm.
I just had to get that off my chest, and why not do it in a public forum?
So you're saying it was more of a Jack loses it.
That was just...
Which is also a segment. Husey loses it.
That was just blind passion,
yep.
And I didn't even realise until I started hearing it back, oh, this does sound sort of like what Andy does every now and again at my hobby job.
And before we deliver, well, any
I actually
questions
do have one question here.
I think court is adjourned. I think I'm walking
no.
free.
just before we adjourn, Jack, now that everyone knows that breakfast radio, your real job, it requires, you know, you're coming in, sometimes you're just chatting. It takes a lot to organize the show. To do a segment like that, that's like engaging and has like a lot of sound effects in it and has like a bit of like cleverness, some audio production.
Mm.
Did Christian say to you, that was good, well done, Jack? Like, that was like... Did you get credit for the effort? Did you?
I think I did, because you're right. It does involve a bit more effort, getting sourcing not one but two songs.
Yes, and then having to play them together. Did Christian be like, more of that, mate? That's great. That's such engaging content. If you got credit for that, I think that should go into
the calculus. I did get a little bit of a pat on the back for that one.
Well,
really?
I've weighed up all the evidence, and going off what Hamish said at the top, given that I hang out with this guy, he's a pretty good friend, no case to answer for.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate that.
Actually, not the most lenient walk I've ever seen on this segment.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.